Hello and welcome to Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, on the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. It's Friday, January 14th. Coming up on today's show, with schools in online learning mode, daycares have been busier than ever, helping families where working from home is not an option. CHMA's David Gordon Koch speaks with an early childhood educator about what life has been like so far in the Omicron wave. But first, New Brunswick is moving into level 3 of its winter plan with slight variations tonight at midnight. The move comes as public health announces the number of people in hospital with COVID-19 has grown to 104, with 9 people in an ICU and 3 people on ventilators. 4 more people succumbed to the disease yesterday, bringing the death toll in New Brunswick to 178. Case counts, though admittedly underreported, continue to climb. There are over 6,600 active cases confirmed through PCR testing in the province. More than half of those are in 2 zones. Zone 2, the St. John region, has over 2,400 cases. And here in Zone 1, there are nearly 1,900 cases. At a conference Thursday afternoon, Premier Blaine Higgs stated several times his unhappiness with the move to maximum level restrictions.
Moving to level 3 was never something I wanted to do, and I really hate to take this next step.
Higgs said the level 3 restrictions would be in place for 16 days, from midnight tonight until midnight on Sunday, January 30th. The move, he said, was being made in the wake of Tuesday's projections about Omicron hospitalizations hitting over 200 by the end of the month, without a substantial reduction in the rate of close contacts among New Brunswickers. Higgs said he had no choice but to bring in the more severe restrictions to prevent a sudden wave of hospitalizations from overwhelming an already stretched system. He also pledged that the measures would be short-lived.
As a province, we need to get to the root of the problem so we don't have to repeatedly do this. And that is why we've been precise here on the 2-week break. This 2-week requirement is to ensure that our health authorities can manage our hospital system. One thing we must understand and we must be committed to is that we are not going to go through 2022 with our province in lockdown.
Many of the measures coming into effect tonight will be familiar to New Brunswickers. The single household bubble is back, with allowances for caregivers, single people in need of support, and children who need care or help with online schooling. No public gatherings are permitted, and gyms, entertainment centers, spas, and salons must close. Restaurants can offer takeout or delivery options only. One significant change from the previously announced winter plan is that retail establishments will be able to remain open under level 2 restrictions, which see them at 50% capacity and enforcing masking and distancing. Horizon CEO John Dornan was at Thursday's news conference and had this to say in response to a reporter question about how healthcare workers are faring.
You know, I can't help but preface my remarks to say that we've been up here twice, 3 times this week, and it's with an ask that we go to level 3. We are suffering in our healthcare system, and we just simply cannot tolerate 220 inpatients with COVID. And it's not just 220 inpatients with COVID. Our buffer is further eroded because people are off. People are off for stressful reasons, and people are off because they have COVID, and people are off because they have contacts.
Dornan said healthcare staff are being asked to come in even with COVID infections to help care for COVID-positive patients.
We are adding to the stresses of our staff by asking them to step up. And we're here with our glove in hand or cap in hand to ask the community to follow us and step up and reduce contacts. And I don't do that shyly. You know, we are asking New Brunswickers to reduce contacts significantly by 20-30%, and that will take the significant bulk away of those 220 admissions. And so I really believe that our community will be behind us as healthcare givers so that we can look after New Brunswickers so that fewer people come into our hospitals and die. 4 people died yesterday. That's not acceptable. And we don't want to see that grow in the succeeding weeks. And give us 2 weeks of your best effort at reducing contact. We can make a difference. You know, I talked earlier about what happens at the end of 2 weeks and we're still at 220. Well, that was assuming no reduction in contacts. If we reduce contacts tomorrow by 20, 30%, then we will not be at that 220 mark. And I can't express my gratitude for the people that work in the healthcare system that come in day after day, burnt out, tired, double shifts. We have to ask people to stay overnight now and do 24-hour shifts. And they're doing it. They're stepping up. But when the community follows suit and reduces its contacts in the way that we are asking today, that will make a tremendous difference.
That was Horizon's acting CEO, John Dornan, speaking at Thursday's news conference. Vaccination levels in New Brunswick continue to creep up, with booster shots seeing a significant increase in the past week. Over 50,000 booster shots were administered this week, and now 27.3% of the population have three doses of a COVID-19 vaccine. Just over 2,200 people got their second shot in the past week, and about 4,400 got their first shot. That leaves about 106,000 people, or 13.5% of the population, completely unvaccinated, which includes kids under 5 who are not yet eligible. Reporters asked Premier Higgs on Thursday if he was considering measures to compel more vaccinations, such as the health tax currently under discussion in Quebec. Higgs said he wanted to discuss possible strategies fully with his cabinet, but also dismissed the idea of a tax, seeming to favor placing limitations on what people who are unvaccinated can do to make life increasingly uncomfortable and more difficult for those who are able to be vaccinated but choose not to be, he said.
We cannot continue to revolve around an unvaccinated population that is having such a significant impact on the 90% of the people in this province. So the point is, I've asked for all indications from different departments of where we can tighten the restrictions on those that refuse to help protect the masses.
In Thursday's conference, Premier Higgs also made the unusual move of putting out a call for help.
We are also in need of help from anyone with nursing experience who is not currently working in the healthcare system or is available to help. Our frontline healthcare professionals are struggling to provide care to patients amidst very challenging working conditions. This includes anyone that has experience in vaccinations who can offer assistance at this time when we're going to try to get as many people boosted as possible in as short a time as possible. We want to hear from you if you have these qualifications.
The Department of Health has a critical care nurse deployment initiative and is asking for nurses to register. Higgs said he's looking for retired critical care nurses, nurses with critical care experience who are not working currently in the system, casual or part-time nurses with critical care experience, or nurses working in units experiencing a reduction in services due to the shutdown. Higgs also specified medical professionals from other countries living in New Brunswick or Canada that could qualify to assist at this time. The Critical Care Nurse Deployment Initiative is offering financial incentives for nurses who register, such as a $1,000 sign-up bonus and up to $1,000 per week in wage premiums. Details are available at gnb.ca/COVID-critical-care. Higgs also said he's been speaking with dentists about helping out with the vaccination drive. In tandem with the Level 3 announcement, the Premier also announced the return of a small business grant program. Businesses who qualify can get up to $10,000 to help offset their losses related to public health restrictions from December 2021 through March of this year. The provincial government announced Thursday learning from home would continue for another week, meaning students won't return to school before January 31st. With schools closed to most students, some daycares are picking up the slack. CHMA spoke with Myra Lynn Moss, an early childhood educator who is also raising 4 kids. David Gordon Koch brings this report.
Earlier this week on Tantrum Our Report, we heard from local families frustrated with the return to online classes. Concerns include social isolation, balancing childcare with work, and children struggling to learn from home. The province announced Thursday at-home learning would be extended for another week, meaning students won't return to school before January 31st. It's part of a partial lockdown under Level 3 of New Brunswick's COVID-19 winter plan. During a media conference on Friday, Premier Blaine Higgs and Dr. Jennifer Russell, Chief Medical Officer of Health, both acknowledged the frustration of working parents, but said the measures are necessary. Here's Dr. Russell.
We know that the negative impacts of kids being at home right now are huge. There's been studies done on this. There's absolutely no question about that. So the level of frustration and difficulty right now is completely understandable. We know it takes a toll on mental health and development and so many other things, not just with the children, but the families that are struggling to support the kids who are trying to learn at home.
The move to online learning is also putting additional pressure on early childhood educators. With schools closed, some daycare centers are picking up the slack. On Wednesday, CHMA spoke to Mira Lynn Moss, who is pregnant and a mother of four and works at the YWCA daycare center in Moncton.
So I'm an early childhood educator. So basically, in general, like I'm caring for children all day. We go with the New Brunswick curriculum in terms of teaching. On top of the job that we do, we also are dealing with the COVID mandate. So we're cleaning up extra. We're making sure that everyone is spaced out, wearing masks, things like that. And that in itself, especially for the younger ages, is difficult because what two-year-old wants to wear a mask, right?
How many children are you responsible for taking care of, and what are their age ranges approximately?
So I go to various classes. So my age group on any given day could be anywhere from 1 all the way up until 12. Most recently, I've been working in the after school class. So their ages are from 5 to 12.
What's your role in online learning and how has that changed?
So there's a lot of daycares that aren't actually offering online learning, because educators have such a difficult job as is, just keeping up with the curriculum and what we have to do for our job position. Thankfully, though, my boss has let parents know that they're allowed to bring anything that the after-schoolers need, and they can come in and have it during the morning and do their online learning, so they can go on their tablets and they can do their classes there, or bring in any homework that they can do and things like that. So my position is basically I'm the one who is doing all of the online learning for all the children that bring any equipment that they have.
And so that in itself is a new role for you because of the pandemic, right? Because normally you would only be taking care of kids who aren't in school yet, who are only in daycare,
yes,
or who are in an after school program.
Yes, correct? Exactly.
Okay. So does, how many more children are there than there usually would be?
So right now we have anywhere between like 19 to 25 kids altogether.
And how does that compare to what it would be like before this stage of the pandemic?
Well, usually the children would only come in after they're done school. So they'd be here from about 1:30 until 5:30. And then we would just continue on with the after-school schedule that we have in place. Since they're here earlier, they're here from any time between 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. So we have to come up with a new schedule for them. They have to bring their own lunch, which is, you know, an extra cost for the parents.
YWCA, I imagine you have several coworkers who are helping you with this. You're not just there on your own, correct?
Yep, there's two after-school teachers for the children.
And you also have kids. How old are they?
I have a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And then I'm pregnant as well. So 3 of my children are also in daycare with me, so I bring them with me. And then my oldest goes with her father.
Is it a challenge for you to look after them while also taking care of the daycare?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Well, we work, I wake up and get them ready in the morning, and then I come to work for 8:30. And then we do the online learning. I'm in the 6-year-old's class. I'm in his class. So he comes with me with the other kids to do their online learning. We work the rest of the day until 5:30. And then I have to pack them all up and take them home. And then after that, I still have to make sure I update his picture on everything that he did today. or else he's marked as absent. And then I still have to do supper, clean the house, get them ready for bed. If it's a bath night, that's an extra chore on top of that. And I have to keep a routine for them as well.
How big of a adjustment is this for you and your family? How difficult is it?
The biggest struggle is that I have to make sure that he's getting the same quality education that he would be getting at school. And it's not something I'm qualified for. It's basically, you know, the various different packs that come from the children that are doing online learning. They're all different. And some of them aren't as detailed as what would make sense to me. So I'm basically guessing on what they're learning in school and trying to replicate what the teacher is teaching them and the games that they're playing to help learn. And the worst part is that schools now, they don't hold children back if they're failing. They just push them through to the next grade. And then they're getting a more advanced education that they're not ready for. So they're already struggling from the year that they missed, and now they have to add on even more work on top of that to really try and catch up. Mm-hmm. And you can see it in the kids. You can see them struggling. You can see them not being where they should be from previous years dealing with COVID and dealing with online learning. And they're trying their absolute best to keep up, but you can see the temperament in them. They're getting frustrated with school. You know, the kids that need more help than others but don't qualify for an aid, they don't get the help that they need. And you're trying to find different ways on how to teach them based on their needs. So, I mean, today, for example, I had 6 different kids that were all doing online learning, 6 different classes, 2 different languages, and I don't speak French very well. Wow. And they all have different ways of focusing and learning. So it was me just trying to find where they are and matching them.
You kind of represent a backstop for the system right now, don't you? Because with schools closed and parents still going to work, in many cases they need a place to go because they don't, you know, never mind the problem of people not necessarily being able to pay much attention to their kids if they're working at home anyway. There's many people who can't
Absolutely.
Work at home. And so they need a place for their kids to go. And your people in your role have become sort of a backstop for the system that way. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And we love all the kids that we take care of, every one of them. Hmm. And we definitely try to replicate a home environment for the children here. Hmm. And they need that. They need that stability and they need that consistency that we provide. Hmm. So it's, you know, it's not just supporting the children and their education and online learning, but you're also supporting the parents and guaranteeing that you're keeping them safe, you're keeping them educated, you're keeping them healthy and clean.
Any message to the government, to Minister Carty or Premier Higgs about their response to this latest stage of the pandemic, and particularly its effects on people like you juggling early childhood education with parenthood?
For sure. So first of all, put our kids back in school because they need the school system. They need what actual licensed professionals can give them. They need their teachers. And especially children that, for them, school is the only safe zone that they really have. You know, there are children that go home to abusive houses or houses that can't afford warm meals. And they can only get that at school. And I know several children that can only get that from schools or daycares. And it's not fair that they can't have that. Mm-hmm. And also sports. Oh my gosh, give the kids back their sports. Mm-hmm. We're very huge on athletic fields here. Mm-hmm. And I mean, my son, my 6-year-old, he is in karate and he's in hockey and he misses it more than anything. They need those outlets. And children don't have enough opportunities to be in sports and have, you know, their parents being able to pay for sports and things like that. They need these things. We need some sort of form of normal in our kids' lives because they're the ones that are suffering the most.
And what about the argument that with COVID-19 and especially now the Omicron variant, highly contagious, seems poised to overwhelm the hospitals, this is a kind of a harm reduction measure to keep COVID from spreading more in these institutions that instead of 19 plus would have perhaps a couple hundred people altogether in schools.
There shouldn't be a reason why bars and strip clubs and restaurants are open when people are sitting very close together. There should be no need that I can go to a bar and have someone sit directly next to me or dance next to me, because I'll catch COVID faster than these kids will sitting in school all day with their masks on.
Do you think that the answer would be to do more of a extensive lockdown at this point?
Yes. So either make it equal or don't do it at all. Okay. Because the kids are suffering. Adults are going out, doing whatever they want, not staying safe. They're traveling, they're getting COVID, coming back to Canada, you know, spreading it that way. Hmm. But our kids can't go to school. I want to see kids smiling again.
That was early childhood education worker Mira Lynn Moss speaking to CHMA on Wednesday. With Thursday's announcement of Level 3 restrictions, learning from home is slated to continue until January 31st. Meanwhile, restaurants are reduced to drive-through, takeout, and delivery services, and gyms, spas, and entertainment centers are closed. In a Facebook message, Mira Lynn Moss said, "I intend to do my best making sure that all my children are succeeding with online learning, and most importantly, taking care of their mental health through these inconsistent, confusing, and ever-changing mandates."
Due to the forecasted Friday night storm, the Sackville Farmers Market is delaying opening tomorrow in order to let vendors and customers get dug out. The market will run from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. at its winter location on Lawrence Street. Along with grocery stores and other retail, the market is not affected by new Level 3 restrictions coming into effect at midnight tonight. Mount Allison University has announced more on-campus restrictions to match the province's move to Level 3. Classes, which were slated to go online until January 24th, will remain online until January 31st. The Athletic Center will be closed outright, but the Student Center and Library will remain open for student and faculty use. Mount Allison is hosting an online discussion today about navigating the pandemic. Students, faculty, and staff will be asked to provide feedback, raise suggestions, or ask questions about the government's new Level 3 guidelines, or how Mount Allison can best navigate the winter term. Members of the Mount Allison community can register by contacting Heather Bembridge. That's it for CHMA's Tantramar Report for this Friday, January 14th. As always, we hope you'll get in touch with your comments or questions at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.